We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Friday. It's March 31st. It's 2023. Last day of March. Baseball season kicked off on Thursday. And I'm joined today by my good buddy, Will Priester, Chief Justice 06. Chief, we got baseball. I let the fans vote. The listeners vote. The listeners voted baseball 76%. Compared to basketball. So we're doing baseball today. I was going to plan on doing basketball, but hey, you know that I do not care when we're going to talk baseball over basketball.
Man, listen, I'm super pumped. I've been waiting on baseball forever. I'm excited. It's been a fairly good day overall. I'll need Stephen Kwan to, you know, pick up at least over five fantasy points for me to cash some, have a nice cash on some other things. But other than that, man, I'm pretty pumped. Blake Snell just picked up another strikeout, which cashes a little 5x opportunity for me. So I'm very excited about the season. And this is, I get to come on a short slate, which should be fun. We can chop it up a little bit and then, try to help these people make some money. I think based on the previous podcast, we should have a few people that put a few more dollars in their fantasy accounts.
What's up, YouTube? Hope everyone's having a fantastic Thursday night. If you listened to the podcast yesterday, we'll just kind of talked about it. We're off to a stellar start. We were very heavy on the podcast yesterday on the Boston Baltimore game. It was my main team on both sites. Had Scherzer done anything, it would have been a monster day. Very good day. As of right now, I know like the San Diego game's still going. It's looking like it's going to be a really good day. So very high on that game. One of the rare times that I won't be on DeGrom, and it kind of worked out. So Gerrit Cole looked fantastic. Man, Gerrit Cole looked really good. And I think Scherzer looked good. He just had a hit, like an umpire that like had a, man, his strike zone was small. So, listen, baseball, we're not in full swing, but we're going to be crushing here soon.
Listen, I'm so glad you mentioned Cole. And I don't know if I talked to you about this, Stevie, and maybe I mentioned it, but, you know, I kept up with every spring training start for every starting and non-starting pitcher. And so, you know, if you kind of, if you look at my notes or heard me talk about anything, there were two aces that I felt best about, and that was Scherzer and Cole, because of the starts that I saw them accumulate from start to finish. Scherzer, with the buildup from start one all the way to the end, I mean, Scherzer was in midseason form probably by about start three or four. You know, I saw him mow down a team for like nine strikeouts or something, like five innings or whatever it was. And he even worked his way up to 100-plus pitches in a start. So I knew he was ready. Gerrit Cole, on the other hand, had the stuff from the beginning. So started spring training camp, you saw the strikeouts. The next start, you saw the strikeouts. The start after that, you saw the strikeouts. And his last start, you could tell it was more, let's go through the motions, let's get to 80 pitches, let's not hurt ourselves. So he backed off of it a little bit. I said, okay. But I wasn't worried about it. I knew he was ready. Those two aces were guys that, you know, I felt were going to do well. And of course, they came out today. Scherzer went 6 innings, 6 Ks, 90-something pitches. I'll take that. You know, he's a guy that we know. He actually gets better the longer he goes in the season.
Yeah. All right. Before we jump into this little 5-game slate, I just want to two things really quick. Two housekeeping notes. Again, if you are new, welcome. And if you're not new, we have a new Rotor Grinders Morning Grind YouTube page that we started in basketball season about a month and a half ago now. And you can come on and hang out with us during the shows live now. So the podcast, I mean, it's still going to be on however you listen to your podcast. It's still going to be in podcast form. It goes up on the Grinders Live page at night now until the morning. So there's like so many different ways that you can take in the Morning Grind now that has started during NBA season. So really appreciate all the support yesterday. I mean, it was fantastic to see all the messages and everything. And, you know, people are excited about baseball being back. No one's more excited about baseball being back than me. I love baseball. This is my favorite time of the year. We got baseball going. We got NASCAR going. Disc golf season just started. We got NBA playoffs right around the corner, NHL playoffs right around the corner. Like, this is one of the best sports times of the year. I was watching F1 practice before we jumped on the show. So, listen, I'm ready to go. Let's talk some baseball. Yeah. Again, if you're hanging out with us on YouTube chat and you have a question, I try as hard as I can to answer questions as we're going. So, let's jump into it. We get started with the Mets and the Marlins. This game has an 8 total and a slight favorite on the Mets. It's like minus 118, so very close to a pick'em game when it comes to baseball. We got David Peterson going up against Jesus Luzardo. We'll start with Peterson. A solid spring training for Peterson, 68 and 66 pitches in his last two spring training starts, 0.8 whip, had a really solid spring training. He is 6,600 here pitching on this slate. It's like we talked about all the elite pitchers on yesterday's slate, and then we go to this slate, and it's like the complete opposite. So yeah. What are your thoughts here? Do you have any interest in Peterson?
I actually think he's okay. I'm with you. I think all of his starts as well. I think I tracked all of his starts, you know, had some good stuff. Now, he is a guy that he's going to get some strikeouts. He's also going to work himself into some trouble in at least one of these innings. And you just got to hope that they don't crush him in like an inning. Like, hope he doesn't give up 4 or 5. But other than that, you know, Miami, the bottom of the order, should be a little bit better this season. Now, their team still isn't great, but they've got some, you know, what I like to call professional hitters. You know, when you go out and get a guy at the top of the lineup that just doesn't strike out at all, and then you go and get, Gene Segura. Like, you're trying to improve your K rate. So he's going to have a tougher time than usual with this team, but in the middle of the order, they've still got some bats that just free swing. So at 6,600, I don't think you can ask for probably, you know, a better pitcher on this league. I mean, as a reference point, and I know I'm talking a lot, we'll be in midseason form here soon. Kyle Freeland is 7,200. I'd absolutely be playing Peterson. I think he's undervalued here.
Yeah, I think he's a solid pitcher. 28% K rate last season. I mean, 26% Ks against righties. Going to face two or three lefties in this lineup. Jazz is going to be an everyday player. It's whether or not like they're going to run Wendell out there against lefties or not. So I think he sees one or two, and then if they play Wendell, potentially three lefties in this lineup. So, I mean, Peterson is a decent K rate guy. He's facing a team that has five guys in their lineups with strikeout rates over 27% against left-handed pitching last season. There's some power. You got Cooper, you got Soler. Singura is good against left-handed pitching. He doesn't strike out a lot. So, I mean, I think it's baked into the price a little bit, though. Like, this guy's cheap. He's 6,600. This game's in Miami. It's one of the best pitching environments unless the roof is open. And even if the roof is open, it's not like it's 95 degrees in Florida right now. I think it was like 76 today. So I think he's playable. And, you know, we're going to talk about a couple guys that I like a little bit more, but price wise, I mean, he's fantastic on this slate. Going to the other side of this game, we got Lizardo Alcantara. He didn't look bad. It's just, again, we saw that same type of Mets approach against him. They're a little bit worse against left-handed pitching. They strike out a little bit more against left-handed pitching. Jesus Lizardo, ceiling-wise, is one of the highest strikeout rate pitchers that we have on this slate. 81 pitches in his last outing in spring training, which is definitely what we wanted to see from him because he's already someone that's kind of limited pitch-wise. So I think both of these guys are in the 80 to 90 pitch range, and I think both of these guys are playable in this environment.
Yeah, absolutely. If I'm not mistaken, Stevie, I think Jesus Lizardo also had four or five strikeouts in that game. I think it's what it was.
I have him down for 18 strikeouts and 16 spring training innings, so it's probably really close.
Yeah, I think it was four or five in his last start. I like Lizardo at 7,800. Really, compared to what we're going to see with some of these other teams, nobody's in a great spot today. And so, you know, if you're saying, hey, Lizardo gets the bets at 7,800, I don't hate it at all. He's a guy that's had some control issues from time to time, similar to Peterson. Like, both of these guys are probably going to work their way into some trouble. And it's just don't get blown up when you do that. And I think we're fine. So, at 7,800, I'm in on Lizardo for sure.
It's a completely different slate than yesterday. Yesterday, we had 10 elite pitchers to choose from. The elite pitcher on this slate is probably Robbie Ray, and we'll talk about him.
Lance Lynn, probably the worst spot, almost.
Yeah, I mean, Lance Lynn's getting Houston. That's a tough spot, and his pitch count concerns me. We'll talk about – that's actually the next game we're going to talk about anyway. Taking some shots, like – Lizardo is not safe, but he has a ceiling. He has a strikeout ceiling. He's a good strikeout pitcher. I took his more than 155 and a half strikeouts for the season because he is a really, really strong strikeout pitcher. Let's talk bats, though. Just because we like potentially playing a pitcher doesn't mean that we don't like potentially playing some bats. Obviously, Alonso, very good against left-handed pitching. He's obviously the guy you're worried about the most when you're, you know, thinking about playing Lizardo. They do have Marte. Mark Canha is good against lefties. Escobar is good against lefties. It'll be really interesting to see what the lineup looks like overall because, I mean, they do have Pham. So I would assume Pham draws a start somewhere in this lineup. I think I don't fully stack the Mets. I don't think I have a five-man Mets stack, but I could see rolling out like a two or three-man here and hoping Lizardo gets a little bit of trouble and one of my batters make him pay for it. And we saw teams are running, you know. There was plenty of stolen bases on opening day. What are your thoughts here on the Mets' bats?
Yeah, look, I think the Mets, if I will say this, if Lizardo ends up, you know, gaining some traction, the Mets are probably going to be a good stack today. Just because of, like I talked about, you know, last season we saw Lizardo 29% K rate, a 3.6x trip, but he was still walking a fair amount of guys and walking pretty equally to both sides of the plate too, Stevie, last year, which was very interesting. And so, you know, he's got a good pitch mix. But, you know, if I had to single out one guy on this team to probably take him deep, it's definitely probably the polar bear, Pete Alonso. I mean, if he, you know, almost any pitch he throws, Pete's going to be ready to roll. So I like him a ton. He's probably a good one-off play here. If you, even if you're not playing the Mets as a stat, you know, like I said, I like him a lot, man. I mean, on his sinker, Stevie, which he's, you know, it's probably one of his pitches he's trying to get ground balls on, which Pete's a little bit more of a fly ball hitter anyway. 600 ISO, at least last season on the sinker from lefties. Like Pete Alonso's, I think, one of the top plays on the slate, especially early on when some of the games, the warmth hasn't picked up there in the dome. I think Pete Alonso one of my top plays here.
Open roof stadium. We got a you know, not fully dome, open roof stadium where they can open it. They can open those back windows. I mean, and if they do, it just becomes even better hitter's ballpark than anything else. So, yeah, I mean, Alonso, definitely a sinker crusher. Listen, all these people, lefty mashers, righty mashers, I'll start going pitch count or a pitch type mashers, whatever.
Yeah.
Don't at me. All right, Marlins bats here. Not a lot standing out to me for the Marlins. Peterson, he does struggle with command from time to time. So maybe like a Soler, Segura, Cooper three-man. Not going to get to a lot of Marlins bats today, though.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be there either. Because, Stevie, you know, once again, and this is the interesting part. If the lineup's close to today, which I'm sure it will be, like you're going to have Arias and Segura, like you mentioned, that probably won't strike out. Those would be the likely candidates to take a walk or something. Cooper, Chisholm, Soler, Garcia, De La Cruz, 27%, 27, 27, 35, 32. Those were their K rates last season. Yeah. And look, they could improve some. Like, I understand that. But my point is, as it stands right now, gosh, the middle of this order is ripe for the picking, which further supports our idea that Peterson at 6,600, 6,800, I just think this is a big mistake by DraftKings, even a small slate. He should absolutely be more than Kyle Freeland. So Peterson, he's going to be in good shape.
Don't forget, too, the Miami Marlins have Yuli Gurriel, so I would assume they get him in here against the lefty.
Yeah,
strengthens the lineup, you know, a little bit. You know, he's a very low strikeout guy, hits the ball up in the air a lot against left-handed pitching. So they do have him. So I would assume they figure a way to get him in there. If and when, for what it's worth, not right now, obviously, but if Peyton Burdick gets the call up, he has some power against left-handed pitching. But we don't have to worry about that because he got sent down after spring training. So we're moving on. We got the White Sox and the Astros. This one has an 8 total. The Astros, a -156 favorite. Lance Lynn, Christian Javier. Lance Lynn first here. Always start with the visiting pitcher and visiting bats. We'll go Lance Lynn. He's 8,800. Second highest priced pitcher on the slate. Pitch count's a little concerning for me. 27 and 42 pitches in his last two spring training starts. I don't think he's fully stretched out from everything that I was seeing, and he did not have a good spring. He was struggling a little bit with command. He needs that command because he's not going to go out there and blow the ball by you. I think this might be a spot that I'm underweight on Lance Lynn, even though like he's one of the better actual pitchers on the slate.
What if I told you I'm not playing any Lance Lynn on this slate? You already know, Steve. Like, I can't do it. And, you know, like you said, struggled, had a rough spring training, not fully there. Stevie, this is the same way, and I'll say this, this is the same way I felt about Aaron Nola. This is the same way I felt about Corbin Burns. It's the same way I'm going to feel on Saturday with Jack Flaherty. Guys that didn't have productive spring trainings, I'm avoiding them at all costs until they can prove to me that they're back to normalcy. And so it's not, you know, if they would have had like a middle of the road spring training, Stevie, where ramp up, you saw some good moments and then they tail off at the end because they're just working through some things. Okay. But some of these guys just had bad spring trainings the whole time, control issues, bad command, Lance Lynn is one of them, not fully stretched out. I'm not playing any Lance Lynn.
Yeah, it's kind of like my initial thoughts. That's kind of my initial thoughts as well. I have a lot of interest in Robbie Ray. We'll get to him in a few minutes. Just to kind of give you an idea of where I'm at. Listeners, an idea of where I'm at. So we'll get to Robbie Ray, but like I prefer Robbie Ray over Lance Lynn today, and like not thinking twice about it, to be honest. So a tough lineup too. Like, you know, Bregman, and you got to go through that stretch of like Bregman, Alvarez, now Jose Abreu, Tucker. You know, eventually we're going to have Altuve and Brantley. Yeah. So eventually, like, Houston, like, this lineup is not as good as it will be. And you could definitely, we saw Dylan Cease looked fantastic.
He also had Bill Miller, but he still pitched great.
Bill Miller or not, like, the dude was, he looked good.
He was crushing.
He looked like, you know, everyone's kind of like, there's been a lot of people hyping up him as like a potential like Cy Young. And I mean, he looked great. So with all that said, I don't think I can take shots on Lynn, even though like Cease is coming off of a 10 strikeout game against this Houston team. So going to the other side of this game, Christian Javier, we had a question already in YouTube chat if we think Christian Javier is stretched out. My initial answer is yes. He threw 76 pitches two starts ago in spring training, threw 24 pitches in his last start, but it was like four innings. It's so interesting when you see stuff like that happen. But he was very efficient in getting ground balls. This Chicago lineup is not that great. There's some pieces in the middle of this lineup that's good, but overall, there's a lot of weaknesses in this lineup. We saw them struggle a lot last season with right-handed pitching with a better lineup. So I think Javier is towards the top of the board today.
Yeah, I like Javier. And I'm with you. Like, and let me just say this too for the listener, Stevie. I was so ingratiated. I've been so ingratiated in MLB for so long now. I feel like I'm in midseason form in terms of all the data I have going on in my head. There were a handful of teams that basically they had their last start, the one before the last start. And Javier was a part of that bunch where, like you talked about, he had 70-something pitches and then 20-something pitches. The Phillies did that. The Cincinnati Reds did that. Like, there were a handful of teams that they tail their guys off at the end. I'm not worried about Javier. I'm with you. I definitely think at 8,200, he's definitely in the mix for me. It is a small slate. So a lot of these pitches, I'm actually going to scratch them off. I'm going to have a real condensed pool today. Peterson's definitely in it. Javier is definitely in it at 8,200.
Yeah, I think he's a really solid play. The fact that, like I said, he threw 76 pitches two starts ago in spring training. So I think he is in that, like, 90-95 range. And can't be too picky when it comes to this slate. And, I mean, he's probably $1,000 too cheap, you know, when we're looking at everything. So I think Javier is in a great spot. There's not a lot of power in this lineup outside of, like, Jimenez. I mean, Anderson has power from time to time, but it's not, like, a huge power hitter. Let's talk some bats in this one. Any interest in any of the White Sox bats?
I think if I play any White Sox, Stevie, it's pretty much all one-off. So, you know, Jimenez, you know, Robert, Tim Anderson, you know, Grandal. But overall, I'm not playing White Sox. If I do, though, it's just going to be one-offs. Like, I'm not stacking this team today at all.
Kind of where I'm at. Probably don't get a ton of exposure. I'm gonna have a good bit of Javier. I probably end up playing him on two of three or three of three teams today. So I probably won't end up on a lot of White Sox, and it's not even like a stack that I would like hedge stack with. Because I mean, they're just a bunch of ground ball hitters. Anderson's a ground ball hitter. Vaughn's a ground ball hitter. Jimenez is a ground ball hitter. Yasmani Grandal is a ground ball hitter. So like, maybe they benefit here. Javier is a flyball pitcher, and maybe they benefit from facing a flyball pitcher, and I should be rethinking my hedge and my head. Maybe I am now, but overall, I don't want to play White Sox. Going to the Houston side of this game, I mean, if Lance Lynn struggles like he did a little bit here in spring training, I definitely want to get some Houston bats. You know, Alvarez, one of the top ceiling hitters on any slate, Bregman, Abreu, Tucker, and then just kind of piecing together, you know, with some cheaper, you know, guys that are in good lineup spots.
Yeah, man. I think Houston actually might be one of the top stacks on the day, because I think we may – there's enough information out there, but I still think Lynn has enough name value for people to just not want to stack Houston. And so I'm willing to do that today against Snell. I'm going to be stacking this team every way I can, up and down the lineup, Alvarez. I think picking up Jose Abreu is a big pickup for them. He's going to be a centerpiece at 4,200. I really like Houston today, big time.
All right, moving along here, we got the Rockies and Padres. Freeland against Nick Martinez. This game is currently at an 8 total, and the Padres a minus 184. They open at 172. They're already up to 184. Go Kyle Freeland first. Freeland, he threw 68 pitches last time out in spring training. He had two outings because he didn't start. He had two outings in the World Baseball Classic, six innings, 77 pitches in those two World Baseball Classic outings. In actual spring training, he did not look good. In World Baseball Classic, he did not look good. So, Padres are my favorite stack on the slate. I don't have a lot of interest in Kyle Freeland today.
Yeah, I'm not playing Kyle Freeland.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I could read off all the stats to you, but just overall, this is not a good spot for Freeland. Freeland is not a big strikeout guy, 17%, 5x FIP, gives up a ton of hard contact. Soto, lefty-lefty, hits with power. I mean, his power are not great. Machado, Bogarts, they have these like guys that hit left-handed pitching really well. So it'd be interesting to see if they still like leave Cronenworth and Carpenter in there, because Carpenter hits left-handed pitchings really, really well. So if we get like lefty-lefty, I don't expect Freeland to go too deep into this game. I think he's going to struggle in this spot. So I just don't want to play Freeland. We'll talk about the bats in a second.
Yeah.
I got ahead of myself. It happens. It's early in the year. Let's talk Nick Martinez on the other side of this game. The one thing that I'll say about Nick Martinez, he's not a huge strikeout guy. He doesn't typically give up a lot of home runs or get blown up. I wouldn't necessarily call him safe in this spot, but I think he's just a guy that goes out and throws maybe four or five quality innings, and I don't know if it's enough, but I also don't think that like it's not necessarily a terrible thing today.
Yeah, at 7,300, I don't hate Martinez. Like, I definitely play him over Freeland. I play him over Merrill Kelly today. So, you know, once again, I'm going to run a tight pool. So I think he's in the mix.
Yeah. I don't know if I end up on him today. I might make my pitching, like my pitching core might be like two or three guys today. I mean, that's just where I might end up. So I want to play Javier. I want to play Ray. And then it's really like Lizardo and Peterson. And I don't know if I get past those four guys. So, all right, let's talk some bats here. Colorado bats. Again, Nick Martinez, not a guy that typically gives up a lot of power. His hit distance is around 150 last season. Any interest in the Colorado bats here?
I mean, I think I'm on Colorado one-offs yet again. Like, this does feel like a slate where maybe I stack one team, Stevie, and then I want use some nice one-off pieces. You know, and obviously you can double stack. I'm not saying you can't, but I don't hate Brian. I don't hate Blackman. You know, I don't hate Crone. Like, I think I take the power bats here. You know, some of the other base path runners, like maybe I use them as fillers. You know, if I end up like Daza led off today, he might lead off. He's probably going to lead off tomorrow as well. You know, maybe I use him at 3,200. But you know, all in all, Colorado is just a one-off team for me.
So man, I'm so excited, not this game, but I'm excited when we get to Coors and we get like a really cheap Mike Moustakas in Coors. I'm going to be that sucker. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'll be that guy. He's 2,900. I would assume he cracks the lineup. I mean, they faced a lefty yesterday against Snell. So I think that's why he was out of the lineup, but I mean, if you have a guy like Moustakas, I think you play him until he gets hurt. Good hitter, just can't stay healthy. So maybe some shots on Moustakas, probably more on FanDuel for that. So, yeah. So thoughts here when it comes to the Padres bats of this game?
Yeah, man. I think the Padres are, you know, big time in play here. I'm expecting Freeland to leave the game early. I mean, this team is loaded, Stevie, top to bottom. And Xander's 4,800 on this slate. You know, Soto's 5,200. Machado's 5,400. You know, they've got Cronenworth. And I think Nelson Cruz might crack the lineup today. Like, it's just I think they've got enough bats to really hammer at home here. So I like him a ton, especially Nelson Cruz. If he cracks the lineup at 3,800, he was still hitting bombs in spring training. So give me the Cruz man all day long.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if they like platoon him and Carpenter. And I don't think if Cruz starts, he plays the whole game. So I am a little concerned when it comes to that. I think, you know, we could see him get pinch hit for late in the game. Or maybe not even late in the game. I think overall, for me and the Padres, I have a ton of interest. I don't want to like mislead anybody, but seeing what the righties and lefties are when it comes to the lineup will be interesting because, I mean, obviously lefty lefty, I have a ton of interest in Soto. Is Gresham going to be in the lineup? Is he going to hit leadoff? What are they going to do with that spot? So I think there's going to be a lot of wait and see. It's the first lefty they face this season, so we really don't have an idea what they're going to do. Waiting to see what the lineup looks like is something I'm going to do with the Padres. They're definitely a team I'm going to stack. At least one of my three teams will have a Padres stack. I have a lot of interest in the Padres. All right, moving along here, we have the Diamondbacks and Dodgers. Merrill Kelly going up against Dustin May. 8 total. Dodgers a 188 favorite in this one. We'll start here with Merrill Kelly, another person that got some World Baseball Classic starts. He had two starts for four and a third, 97 pitches. Came back from the World Baseball Classic, threw 34 pitches in that last spring training outing.
Yep.
Any interest here in Kelly?
Oh, no. No Merrill Kelly today.
Yeah, it's kind of where I'm at. The Dodgers lineup is not as good. I mean, let's just be real. This is not the best Dodgers lineup that we've ever seen. So I think the Dodgers lineup overall is not as scary as it has been in years past. I mean, like, the bottom half of the order, right? Peralta, Altman, Rojas.
Yeah. I mean, this is less about, this time it's less about the Dodgers and more about, I don't think Kelly's going to be out there. Yeah. But I'm also with you. Like, I'm not scared of the Dodgers.
They have enough lefties too. Kelly struggles so much with lefties. They have enough lefties where I don't mind playing Kelly against like super right-handed heavy teams. They have enough lefties to worry about it.
Yeah.
All right. The other side, we got Dustin May. Dustin May was a little limited in spring training. 39, I think, was his top end for pitch count. This is a guy that's been limited, I feel like, for his whole career. But, Will, like, last time out of his last, like, spring training outing, he threw five innings and 32 pitches. So I don't want to necessarily say that, like, he was purposely limited. This could be one of those scenarios where he went out and he threw 32 pitches in five innings, and they're like, hey, you're going to get the back end guys. Let's just go do 30 more pitches in the bullpen and ramp you up in the bullpen instead of. Either way, when it comes to Dustin May and pitch count, I'm already concerned halfway through the season. So the fact that I'm already concerned, like, coming into a start is nothing unusual for me when it comes to Dustin May. I'll say there's not a ton of strikeouts. You know, Lewis and Longoria, Carroll is someone that kind of a free swinger, even though, like, people are super high on him, he's a free swinger. Good prospect, very good prospect. I'm not trying to say that. So, do you have any interest in Dustin May?
Negative. I'm going to be avoiding Dustin May like the plague tomorrow. And most Dodgers pitchers this year, at least at the onset, I mean, it's him, it's Grove, it's Syndergaard, it's not Castillo, geez. He's pitching today. Urias. Like, I'm going to be avoiding most of these Dodgers pitchers early on. So, I'm treating him no different.
I have to. What are the Dodgers? Are they in a rebuild year? Like, let's save some money because we've spent so much money over the last 5 years. I don't know. Dodgers start hot, though. Watch out. I mean, they'll go out and get some guys.
Yeah.
They'll make some stuff happen. Overall, though, I think my concerns for Dustin May outweigh my interest for Dustin May. Again, I don't think the Arizona lineup is like this fantastic lineup, but at the end of the day, I don't think Dustin May is going to go out and throw 95 pitches either. So let's talk some bats. Do you have any interest in the Arizona bats?
Yeah, I think Arizona is sneaky. I'm not expecting Arizona to, you know, be a world beater team by the end of the season, but I am expecting them to be pesky. And that's what I feel like when I'm thinking about Arizona and kind of how they've got this team constructed. They feel like a pesky team. And I actually think they can rattle off some runs here against the Dodgers. So I think I like them as a stack, not necessarily one piece or the other. But, you know, you look at the pricing, Ketel Marte's 4,400, Christian Walker's 3,300. Like, they're not expensive. And this is a team that, you know, you use some one-off pieces. You know, I could leave $2,000 on the table and stack this team. So I like them a lot today. I think they're a real sneaky stat.
Pricing is definitely not going to matter today for what it's worth, but Arizona is cheap. And like, the three-man stack with Gariel coming over makes a lot of sense now, too, because, I mean, you get Ketel Marte, you get Gariel, and then you just kind of, you know, do I want to go Walker? Do I want to go Carroll? Depending on, like, how your build kind of ends up. And it all just kind of works because of the price, and then, like, you can do anything that you want with the rest of your team. So I could definitely see using Arizona as a secondary stack. From what I've read, the Dodgers bullpen is still solid, so limits your late inning upside a little bit. Going to the other side of this game, the Dodgers bats. I know it's not the same Dodgers team as it has been in the past, and I just criticized that. But Merrill Kelly struggles against lefties. I like Freeman. I like Muncy. I like Peralta. I like Altman. If I'm playing those guys, I have interest in Betts. I have interest in Smith. This is another team that I could definitely see full stacking today.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't hate that one bit. You know, you talked about our good friend Freddie Freeman. He's 5,800. You know, if you want to get up to some of these big bats, then you're absolutely going to need to, play some of those cheap pieces. So I like Freddie, like Betts. I don't hate Peralta. 3,500, you know, this guy's been around the league a while, Stevie. So, you know, he's a guy that could absolutely come out and get the job done. So I like him a ton. I like the Dodgers today for sure.
All right. We got one last game. Thanks everyone for hanging out. Listen, I love this conversation stuff in YouTube. Derek was asking, when did my NASCAR DFS stuff start? I started doing articles 8 years ago. Could be seven. I don't remember. I'm getting old. You see, I have gray in my beard. Like, if you guys, like, if you're hanging out on YouTube, there's gray in my beard. All right, we got Cleveland at Seattle. And we got Hunter Gaddis going up against Robbie Ray. This game has a 7.5 total. Robbie Ray and the Mariners, a -172 favorites. Hunter Gaddis will coming in here. He was expected to be like a long relief guy. And I think it was McKenzie got hurt. So
Yeah. McKenzie got hurt. He pitched like one inning or like one and a third innings and he was done.
So I mean, we didn't see him a lot last year. We saw him a little bit at AAA level. Decent strikeout stuff. Above average changeup for Gaddis. Decent slider. Below average fastball. And a below average fastball is going to struggle in the majors until he can get those other ones. So, for me, I look at this spot and I go, I don't think Gaddis is stretched out. I think he gets about 60, 65 pitches, and we see a full-on long reliever, bullpen type of game for Cleveland, so I really don't want to play Hunter Gaddis today.
Oh, yeah. No way I'm playing Hunter Gaddis, Stevie. Like, just forget it.
And then, all right, let's talk Robbie Ray. I've been dying to talk about Robbie Ray. This guy – you know, we've been talking about like just how people have been struggling a little bit in spring training. Robbie Ray's strikeout stuff has not been struggling.
Not at all. And not been struggling. He had nine.
Yeah. Not been struggling at all. And I know Cleveland's not a huge strikeout team, but they're also a team that just doesn't have a lot of power, especially against left-handed pitching. So I'm going to give the nudge here to Robbie Ray's hopefully elite strikeout stuff going up against a Cleveland team with very little power. And just, I'm going to play a lot of Robbie Ray today.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I know you talked about like your small pool and maybe you're playing three guys. I think I'm going to end up with four. And I think it's going to be Robbie, Javier, Peterson, Lizardo. I'll end up with five, and Martinez. Those are the five I'll end up with, like, mostly. So I'm just trimming the fat with Lynn, May, Kelly, Freeland, Gaddis. And that's probably what most people are going to do. And I might just get aggressive and hit the lock button on Peterson. And that's how I get, like, super different. But who knows? All in all, though, I'm with you. Robbie Ray's definitely the best pitcher on this slate.
Yeah. What are they going to do with all the lefties? They have a lot of lefties in this lineup. They can't platoon all of them out because they have a lot of lefties on the bench. Like Robbie Ray like legitimately might get four lefties and has the potential to see five or six lefties in this lineup. So I just struggle not because like his walks go way down against lefties. His strikeout rate goes way up against lefties too. So like if they end up rolling three or four lefties out there, it's just a bump. It's just a bump to his ceiling. So not too concerned about pitch count. I think he ends up in that like 85 to 90 range, maybe 95. I don't think any of these starters go 100 pitches on today's slate for what it's worth. From everything that I was kind of looking through, and I'll check the bat in the morning and see what it has projected for, you know, a median pitch count for these guys. So, I like Robbie Ray a lot. I look at the Cleveland lineup and I don't really have a ton of interest in the Cleveland bats. If Ray is going to be chalky, I'll just be different elsewhere. And if Cleveland crushes Ray, I'll just move on to Monday's slate. Cause if you don't know, I don't play baseball on the weekends. I'm way too busy with NASCAR. So, I'll just take a couple days off. Will, that's all.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. Take those days, man. You need your rest.
I don't take days. Let's be honest. I am very busy.
I mean, this, the multi-sport. Yeah.
But way too much gray in my beard to do multi-sports nowadays. let's Cleveland bats. I mean, I don't want to play any Cleveland bats. Do you have any interest here?
Yeah, no. I think I'm going to take a pass here. No reason to load up on Cleveland. I mean, look, Ray can work himself into some trouble. Like, it's possible. Yep. Oh, yeah. And Jose Ramirez maybe comes up and hits a home run or something. But I think realistically, Stevie, I don't think we see that tomorrow, realistically. So I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of leaning the same way when it comes to Cleveland. Could you take shots on Ramirez? Yes. Could you take shots on Bell? Yes. Could you take shots on Rosario? Yes. Can you take shots on anybody else? Yeah, I mean, you can. I'm not going to, but you can. All right. So thinking that we get like, man, this is just one of those, Will, this is just one of those spots for Seattle where I'm just going to close my eyes, build out a team that looks somewhat good, and see how the stack does. I mean, I don't expect much from Gattis. I don't expect him to go out and mow these guys down. Like I said, he has a below average fastball that he throws 50% of the time. So I like the Seattle stack a lot. It's in Seattle, not the best hitting conditions in the world, but it's a 5-game slate and they're in a fantastic spot.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. This is definitely a spot where I think, you know, I don't know if I'd say close my eyes, but just open them and pick some Seattle guys. Julio for sure. I don't even mind Eugenio Suarez here, who, you know, good guy, man. He's got the power. Just connect with the baseball. The big dumper, Cal Raleigh. Just the whole team. I think this is a good spot for Seattle. In terms of stacks on this slate, I think they're probably my second favorite behind Houston.
Yeah, I mean, again, like this is it's a great spot. Julio Rodriguez and Alvarez are my two top hitters on the slate. So, I mean, taking shots on either one of those guys, and then Freeman's probably a close third. So, I mean, it's a fun slate. Like for a 5-game slate this early in the season, it's a fun slate because we go from like the extremes as pitchers. Like we go from what we had Thursday to what we have today. It's just crazy. All right, let's play the morning grind game and then we'll get out of here. Under 8,000 to get six or more strikeouts. Who do you got?
Honestly, I think if I'm going with anyone, I think I'm going with Peterson today against Miami.
All right, well, then you'll leave me the layup. Thank you. I'll go Lizardo. the ceiling strikeout pitcher, I'll go Lizardo. Over 8K, we have a few options today. Give me a guy over 8K to score under 15.
Oh, man, Merrill Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. listen, I don't think it's crazy. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Lance Lynn.
Those are the two guys. Like,
well, I mean, Dustin May's pitch count might be, yeah. But I'm gonna go out on a limb and say Lance Lynn. I don't like Lance Lynn today.
Yeah, for sure.
Could be wrong. I'm wrong all the time. It happens. Over 4,000 to hit a home run today. Who do you got?
I'm gonna roll with my guy, man. And I know he's give me Pete Alonso. The numbers look too good today.
I like it. I'm going to take Mr. 28 home runs himself, Julio Rodriguez. I think this is a fantastic spot for him today.
Yeah.
Like under 4,000 to get two hits. Who's a cheap bat that you like to get some hits today?
I really wish they would have given me my guy, but he's not on this slate. Don't worry. When Michael Brantley comes back, folks, you already know what's going to happen. We talked about the struggles with Kelly. I'm actually going to roll Peralta at 3,500.
Okay. Did not expect you to take my guy. That's fine.
Really?
Now I have to. Yeah, you took the guy.
Wow.
I gotta look. I usually write down like two, but I didn't write down two today. Crap. You got me.
Listen, I like the Arizona guys too, for what it's worth. But I just
hold on. I'll find someone real quick. You threw me off, Will. It's all your fault.
It would have been Stephen Kwan if he wasn't facing Robbie Ray, for what it's
worth. You know what? Give me JP Crawford from Seattle. Like, he's gonna get gonna get two singles and two stolen bases.
I like it.
All right. Give me a stack to score six or more runs today. Who do you got?
Give me Houston, man. I like Houston today. Top of my list.
Houston. All right. Oh, I mean, I got to go San Diego. I love this spot for them against Freeland. San Diego, Seattle, Houston, Dodgers. That's going to kind of be where I build around today as an overview of the slate. Any fantasy pick'em plays or props or bets that you like here today?
I do. So I figured this was going to happen. Like, Peterson came out with a projection of 5.5 strikeouts. And so I kind of assumed that's how it was going to go. But on Prize Picks, we have a projection, a fantasy point projection for Pete Alonso at 6.5. And I think he can go yard today. So I'm going to take the over for 6.5 on Pete Alonso.
All right, over on our friends' Prize Picks, I like the over or more than 4.5 hits allowed from Lance Lynn today. I think he's going to struggle a little bit.
Have one. Okay.
Yep. So the projection's 4.5. I like more than 4.5 hits allowed for Lance Lynn today. Another one that I was kind of eyeing. If you want to get you a little play going over there. I really like Julio Rodriguez today. So taking his over 8 or more than 8 fantasy hitter score, I like that as well. So any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, sir. I am good to go, man. I'm glad to come on and hang out with you and talk a little MLB.
All right. It's going to wrap it up here for Friday. Again, if you're a normal podcast listener, you want to hang out with us while we're recording live, we got a YouTube page now. Head on over to YouTube. Roto Grinders Morning Grind, very easy to find over there on YouTube. I think if I did it right, let me check. Did I do it right? No, I didn't. So never mind. I thought like I fixed how to get to the page really easily, but just go search YouTube. Roto Grinders Morning Grind, and you'll find it. It's very easy to find. If you have any questions, just message me or send me a tweet on Twitter and subscribe. That way you can get alerts when we get rolling here. So that'll wrap it up for Friday. Have a fantastic weekend. Live chat is awesome, Dave. Live chat is awesome. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you again on Monday.